Okay, so whoever's not bored of hearing my voice is welcome to stay. Okay, so I understand that you're learning Rosh Hashanah, and I've been learning it for a little bit for the last few days, and I'm going to continue to learn it for the next few days, and I hope I'm not stealing anybody else's show with the topic I'm going to talk about, and I also hope that the people here have a little bit of a background in Shofar, so that you should know, like, faster, smoother, I shouldn't have to explain every detail of what we're talking about. So, the shiur about the Rivo was already, the reason why we wrote Shvarim, Truah, and each of them separately?
Yesterday.
That was yesterday, good. So the other knows that. It's important to have that in your back pocket. So, I'm just going to recap that, so you should have it fresh from today, is that the Torah says you have to blow. The Torah says you have to blow what? What does the Torah say you have to blow? Truah. The Torah says you have to blow Truah three times. And Chazal figured out from Sukkim that you also have to blow, every Truah has to be preceded and followed by a Tekiah. So, ends up you need to have Tekiah, Truah, Tekiah three times. And ends up that you need to have nine sounds. Along comes a Rivo, and he says, we don't know what a Truah is. So now he came up with three varieties of Truah, and therefore we end up with now three varieties of Truah. Each one is nine. How many did he end up with?
27.
Good. I'm glad somebody knows some math. Who said 30?
Well, Shvar and Truah is really two.
So the Mechalkis Rishonim, off the topic, the Mechalkis Rishonim, whether that's 27 or 30, and it depends whether the Shvarim and Truah of the Shvarim Truah is one sound blown in one breath or two sounds blown separated by breath, and that's not our topic today. What is our topic is, what is a Truah? What is a Truah? So there's a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah that says, Shir Tekiah Kishalosh Truahs. One Tekiah equals three Truahs. And a shir teruah is kesholish yevavos. One tekiah equals three truahs, and one truah is three yevavos. So the question is, what's a yevava? What's a yevava? It's an odd word. What does yevava mean? We have it one place in Tanakh. What does yevava mean? So the one place it's used in Tanakh is in Shiras Devaira. Daftoyev Pashas Bashalach, and over there it means to cry. So the word Revolva has something to do with sobbing, but what kind of sobbing? That Revo try to figure out in the other Gemara. But Rashi says, what is the Yavava? In the length of sound, what is the Yavava? So Rashi says, Sholish Yavavais, Yavava is Sholish Koilos Ba'alma. Kol shehu. So Rashi repeats himself. Three sounds. Koilis ba'alma kol shehu. The smallest possible sound. Now you can't split a sound in half. Right? You can't. So the smallest possible sound is a sound. Any dit of noise that you make is a sound. The three smallest possible sounds is yavava. Rashi makes it sound that three yavavas is three small sounds. Do we have a shofar available? So the smallest, so according to Rashi, one truah, let's try this out. Okay, so according to Rashi, three small sounds of a truah are going to be, let's see if I can do this, not my shofar, a little bit odd, the shape is not my comfortable. There's another shape here this morning, that's not, no, that's not good. There's only shofar here? Not going to work. Oh, okay. That's three really small sounds. According to Rashi, that's the whole truah. That's the whole entire truah. There's nothing more to a truah than those three sounds. That's a truah. So one truah. So how long is a tekiah? So the Mishnah said, one tekiah equals three truahs. So how long is your tekiah? According to Rashi, about K is a very easy time. He's done before he starts, right? Very easy. The key is our breeze, truers are simple. You know, always the Batkei gets stuck with his truers because he keeps going on and on and on. And even though we blow nine, but he could blow nine sounds a lot faster than you can count to nine. So he has to blow 15 in order for you to think he blew nine, right? And it gets the saliva into the shofar and it causes him all the trouble and the stress and all that. And according to Rashi, the Batkei is a breeze. So a tukia is one very short sound. A trua is three tiny sounds. What's the shvarim? So, the shvarim, I'm not going to read the whole Gemara, but the shvarim is the middle sound. It's shorter than a tukia.
You don't have much of a choice.
And longer than a trua. So if a trua is three tiny sounds, and a tekiah is the total of three tiny sounds, which is the same time it takes to blow three tiny sounds in one long sound. So let's just do that for demonstration. This is the trua first. So then if that's how short a trua is, then a tekiah is going to be... That's a tekiah. Because the tekiah is the same as one sound as long as the three trua sounds. So where's the shvarim come in? So the individual shvarim sound, each individual piece, has to be something in between. So that's what kills the Baal Tekei, according to Rashi. Because if he blows it a drop too short, it's a trua. If he blows it a drop too long, it's a tekiah. So that's the hard part, according to Rashi. So a shvarim, according to Rashi, not my shofar, let's see if I can do it properly. That would be a shvarim. There's a drop longer than a trua, and a drop shorter than a tekiah. If I blew my shvarim any bit longer than that, I'm blowing tekiahs. Any bit shorter than that, I'm blowing truas. Okay? Rashi's shvarims are so much harder than Ben Tam's, than the Rivam's truas, that it makes it not worth it. Okay.
Can we get to Shrat, have Rashi?
Yeah. That was from habit. I blew a lot, but you don't need that much. We'll do it again. That would be a shvarim trua according to Rashi. Okay. Along comes Rivam in Taisvis. It's a long Taisvis. It's a worthwhile read. Fascinating Taisvis. It says a lot of very interesting stuff. You probably have it in the book. But on it's on Lam Gimel and Beis, and it's about halfway down. If you had the Tosfos Lam Gimel and Beis, there's one Tosfos the whole Amid, about halfway down the long column, it says Rivam Ben Meir. That's a Rivam Mefarshim. They have a different chat. I start in the center of the long line, of the long column. They translate Mefarshim the Yevava, he shalosh koichos shel kol shehu. One Yevava is three sounds of kol shehu, and the Mishnah says a trua is three Yevavas. Rashi said each Yevava is one sound of kol shehu. So a trua is three Yevavas. Each one is a sound of kol shehu. Tosfos says no. One Yevava is three sounds of kol shehu, and if a trua is three Yevavas. 3 times 3 is, so according to Tosfos, Nimtzeis Trua Teisha Koiches. The Trua is 9 sounds. Okay. Therefore, Mishir Tekiah Kachi. And then the Tekiah will be that much longer. So according to Tosfos, life is a lot simpler for the Baal Tekiah, because even though he has to blow long Tekiahs, and he has to blow more sounds than his Trua, but he also gets to blow much longer Shvarims. He can blow a shever as long as it's more than one koyach and less than 9, he's good. So according to Tosfos, you can blow a shvarim if a trua is... No. You have to give me a better shofar than this. would be 9 dots. That's 9 dots according to Rivam. That's a trua. So then a tekiya is going to be about the same thing. And a shvarim could be anything in between 1 and 9. That's a lot more manageable than the tiny shvarims of Rashi. Okay, now the Tosis is like this. If you blow consistently long tekiyas and 9 sounds of shvarim, of trua, long tekiyas and 9 sounds in your trua, then you can blow long shvarims. But if you blow 3 sounds in your trua and short tekiyas, either one, then you have to blow very short shvarims. Got it? How do we paskin? So Shulchan Aruch brings both shittas and does not give a clear psak. If anything, he's noted to shittas Rashi.
It's a yesh and a yesh?
Yeah.
Which one is second?
If anything, he's noted to the Rashi, he brings first. Second one, he brings Tosfos. As anybody who's been to shul knows, that the minig is like, as much as it's done, it's like Tosfos. Tosfos is a lot easier to blow because the shvarims are easier to manage. Although, according to Rashi, you're not yotzu with those kind of shvarims, but that seems to be the way it goes. Mishbru says, but if a person blew like Rashi, he's yotzu. Blew like Tosfos, he's yotzu. The only thing the Mechaber says, as the Tosfos points out, that if you blow a combination of both, which is, you blow short tekiyas and short truas, and then long shvarims, then you're messed up. But as long as you blow consistently either Rashi or Tosfos, you're yotze. That's how Mishavura paskens. So whichever you go to shul and you hear, rest assured that according to Mishavura, you're yotze. Now, most of the world blows the shvarim, we've been blowing them until here. That's how most of the world blows the shvarim. But anyone who's been to Lakewood, or parts of Eretz Yisrael, or some other parts of the world, knows that a shvarim is blown differently. It's a broken sound. The shever itself has 2 tones in it. It's a broken sound. There's a whole variety of names that people give that shvarim. Anything from just an onomatopoeic name, like you're just calling it what it sounds like, utus or tuus or tuutus, or they call it the Litvish shvarim, they call it a Briska shvarim, give it a whole list of names. But that's what it sounds like. And there is a variety of ways how to blow this. And I'm, you know, from the Lakewood school, and I blow it the way that we did it, not the Evelyn Lakewood, but I blow from that school, and I blow like this. So it goes, it's 2 different things. I halachically, I think utus are better, and hopefully in today's show I'll get to explain why.
Which one is
there? There's 2 different styles. Listen.
Three?
Of the, listen, oh, that I didn't get to. You hear the difference? Is it the high, low, or low, high?
One more time.
No, with that.
Okay, and then Bzel in the back wants me to demonstrate a 3rd type. What was that? That's called the utu. That's the 3.
That seems similar to the first one. Then.
Low, high, low. What?
Seems similar to the first.
No, it's low, high, low. The first one was low, high.
Oh.
This is low, high, low. Okay, so the question is, where did this other sound come from? So, Lubavitch, they have their own variety of the tu'u, which I never quite learned how to do. Although I once was called down to Crown Heights to teach the shluchim how to do it. They didn't tell me that's what the job was, but I was supposed to teach them how to blow shayif. I didn't know how to teach them how to blow the Lubavitch to ooze, so that part I couldn't get to. And Stalin also blows to ooze with their own little knetch, how they do it with their own twist. But those are trivial details in the big picture. Basically, anybody that came out of Russia, whether the Litvaks or the Lubavitch or the Stalin or the different even the Chassidim that came out of Russia, all blew this broken sound for shofar. And the question is, where does it come from? Okay, that's the question.
Try to squeeze in Rashi?
Right. That's the answer. In one sentence. How does he get to squeeze in Rashi? So now, if you learn the Rishonim, but in the description, we have over here a Ritva on Sukkah, on Rosh Hashanah. I don't have to have it, but if it's helpful, and I don't know if it's in the book. I didn't write these books. Let's see if I can find it in this version really quick. The way the Ritva words the description of what a shvarm is supposed to sound like, so. I'm not sure if I'm going to find it in this book really quick, is that, you know, obviously if I'm going to read to you from a book of what a sound is supposed to sound like, it's hard enough if I had music notes. Oh, that might be more helpful. This is the kind I have at home. Hey, what happened to Sukkah? Sukkah in here? Is Sukkah in here? No, Sukkah's not in this one. Oh, Rashan, not Sukkah. It is Rashan, is in here. Okay, so. The Ritva uses language found the end of it. Let me find the beginning. Okay. Ve'ein loymar. I'm starting in the middle. Ve'ein loymar she'ein hefer ben tekil l'shever. If you look, follow me inside. It's in the dva is on lamed gimel on beis, and like smack in the middle of the stuff on the gimel on beis. Depends on how your paragraphs are broken up. I don't know if it's in the book. If it's in the book, you'll find it and help me. You do not say, it's wrong to say, that the difference between a shever and a tekiah is, don't say that the difference is in the length of the kol, but in the sound, the type of sound, elbi shinuyov. That the difference between them is that they sound different kinds of sounds. Shezeh einoi, she tekiah kol pashet, veloi shvira. A tekiah, this is the right shot, a tekiah is a simple sound, a plain sound, without any break in middle. V'chein ha-shever ba'atzmoy, and also the shever, eino nasa l'shvarim. And the shever itself is not made into other shvarim, because if so, it would be, the pieces of the shever would become yivavas. And therefore, akarcheinu shever u'tekiah kol poshet. The shever and the tekiah must be both simple sounds, equally simple sounds. There's no difference in the tone. And the only difference is in the length of sound. So, we have a ritva which makes it sound that the only difference between the tekiah and the shvarim is in how long you blow them, like we demonstrated earlier in the shir. That the difference between a tekiah is a long, flat sound, and a shever is a very short, flat sound. no difference in the tone. Now, the Tefillah is not in the room, he's not blowing the shofar, so I can't be 100% sure that those are what the words mean. Nigun, shava, pashut, I don't know 100%, but the way I and most of the world are reading it, that's what the Tefillah seems to mean, right? There's wording in the Ramban. Do you have the Rosh Hashanah Ramban over here? Yeah, you have it? Thank you. So the Ramban starts off with a quote from a Tosfos, which we don't have, that it sounds like that the difference between a tkiya and a shwarm, again, is only in the length of length, and the guy in the bottom over here tries to indicate that that's our Tosfos, that our Tosfos warns you that if you blow a long sound in your shvarim, if you blow your shvarim long, then it will be a tekiya. So that's only true if the tekiya and the shvarim are the same tone, or the same sound. But if the shvarim is a broken sound that changes tones, and the tekiya is a flat sound, then no difference how long you blow your shvarim, it's not going to be sound like a tekiya. That's what the guy in the bottom. I'm not sure I agree with that. Time will tell if I could get to discuss that. But let's see what the Ramban does say. What is it, what does a shvarim sound like? Alakfiya nir medikla kaloshin. The difference in a shvarim is not bein oirich lekotzer. It's not a difference in length. That's not the difference between a shvarim and a tekiya. El shezek called pashut. So if the tekiya is a simple sound that the beginning and end are on the same tone, like a person that's just starting out to sing. Zek called shavar ki einam yalam. This is a broken sound. So if we just base it on words, the Ritva and the Ramban are saying two different points. And both of them are definitely telling you that there's a machlokes going on, that I'm trying to tell you different than somebody else. So both of them are telling you there's a different way how to do the shvarim, and I'm telling you the right way how to do it. Both of them are clearly saying that. I can't know for sure that I got the right meaning of the flat and the tone, but they're both definitely saying opposite things, that this is pashut, and this is broken.
If the Ramban just means that the Sheva, the Shvarim, after all three said and done, are the same length as the Tekiah, it happens to be they're broken.
I don't understand what you just said.
Maybe the Ramban is saying that the Shvarim, after said and done, the 1, 2, 3, the
right.
Shvarim, maybe that's the same length as a Tekiah altogether, just as broken up. Who says that the Ramban means that each sound itself is
one. He makes it sound that way because he says he's trying to trying to go different than Tosfos.
Yeah.
We don't have such a Tosfos. He had it.
And Tosfos says,
that's how he quotes. That Tosfos says that the difference in a shever and the way he quotes it makes it sound like the difference between a shever and a tekiya is in the length of the individual sounds. And the guy in the bottom says that's what our Tosfos means to say. Okay, so we seem to have a machlokes rishonim about what the sound is. And if we got the meaning of the words correct, so then one rishon is telling us that a tekiya is a flat sound, and a shvarim is also a flat sound, the other shita is saying that a tekiya is a flat sound, and a shvarim is not a flat sound. That's what it seems like. Yeah? Now, if that we got the Rishon right, so that would be the pshat in this minig of blowing a broken shvarim sound. Because you're blowing a not flat sound. That would be the pshat in the minig. Now, The Sefer of the Ramban that I'm quoting from is a relatively recently printed Sefer. It was printed in the 1950s by Moshe Sternbach. It was the first time it was ever printed. It was only discovered recently, shortly before that. It was not a known Sefer. It's not quoted in the Rishonim. So it's doubtful that whoever started the Minig a few hundred years ago on blowing the broken Shvarim started based on Ramban. But the assumption is that whoever did start that Minig held the same thing that the Ramban held. The same concepts that the Ramban was talking about, he doesn't have to be the only one who held that way. There could have been Rishonim or Achronim living in Russia or someplace else hundreds of years ago who just didn't happen to record their shita in a book that held that way. And they started this Minig, and that's how it became popular. So what's the gain of this Minig? What's the gain of this kind of sound? So the way they present it to us is that is a benefit that the shvarim itself is broken sound. It's one thing that we see in the language they use, that the shvarim itself is a broken sound, and two, that it's not a problem if you go over time. That seems to be the two things that the shvarim are talking about. That if you go over time on the shvarim, the difference of a shvarim is in the type of sound. That's why it's different than the tekiah, not in the length. Okay, I have another shot. Not if you extend your shvarim too long, if it's a different kind of sound,
then
it's
going to
become a
tkiah. Oh, so I'm about to get to that. So what does this mean that a tkiah has to be a flat sound? Would you say that a tkiah has to be perfectly flat sound? So let's imagine that let's see if we can pull it off on the shofar. That's more or less straight. It wasn't perfect. But let's see what I can do now, if I can, how bad I can mess up. Sometimes I have a hard time messing up here. I spend the whole hour practicing to get it right, and I have to demonstrate getting it wrong. Right? So there you go. You have a sound that goes all different directions. Was that a kosher tekiah? Is that a kosher tekiah? So the answer is, I hope so. The answer is, I hope so. Because if that's not a kosher tekiah, then a good portion of Klal Yisrael is not yet in a mitzvah. By the way, you could recommend it. There's a great book on the topic. It doesn't say any place that, not in Shulchan Aruch, in the Pesukim, that a tekiah has to be a perfectly flat sound. So when they talk about a kol pashut, and a shever. So what do they mean? What do they mean? So I'm going to tell you something that the original thought I heard from David Feinstein, and it opened my eyes to the whole sugya. But they're talking about in a broken sound. They're talking about a broken sound is not. Or even, they're not talking about any of those. That's not under discussion. Because if I blew a tekiah like that, I would also be yotzer. If I blew a tekiah like that, I would also be yotzer. Because there's no halacha in a tekiah that it can't change tones.
Even
Shalom is such a halacha. In Shulchan Aruch. Therefore, that's not the Shema discussing. So if I blew a tekiah, why isn't that a tekiah? That's long enough to be a tekiah. Why it changed tones, but why isn't that a tekiah? So that's not the discussion. They're trying to tell you that they're two different things. What I'm going to suggest to you is that a tekiah, that a shvarim, that they're discussing a broken shvarim is. Did you hear that? That's a broken shvarim. It's two separate sounds. Neither sound is short enough to be a truah. Neither sound is long enough to be a tekiah. And it's two totally different sounds. And a tekiah definitely possible that.
Six sounds. The shvarim is six sounds.
So six of those, it's not the point of six sounds. It's three sets of that. It's three sets of broken sounds. So a shvarim should be, according to my suggestion, that would be a shvarim. This shvarim that I suggested to you is a beautiful shvarim.
Are you blowing one time or two times different?
I think you mean is it one stretch of breath or is it there's a break in it? There's a clear break. So what you gain from this is that you can now blow. Not only do you have a shvarim which is radically different than the tkiyah, you have a shvarim which can never become a tkiyah. And you have a shvarim which you could be yotzei both the shita of Rashi and Tosfos in one. Because Rashi's shvarim has to be that it's shorter than a tkiyah and longer than a truah. My shvarim, each part of the shvarim, and the shvarim, even though the shvarim as a whole is could be as long as I want to make it, but each part of the shvarim is too short to be a tkiyah, and a tkiyah that have a crack in it would definitely be possible. If each part of my shvarim is long enough that it's not a truah according to Rashi. This shita, which is, I agree, is not going to be shtim with the Ritva, the simple reading of the Ritva, we're going to say only the Ramban. This shita holds that the shvarim sound itself has to be broken, in which case that's a tzur of a shvarim. The shvarim has to be a broken sound. Therefore, according to Tosfos, that the shvarim is supposed to be ideally three sounds, each shever piece is supposed to ideally be three sounds. Each shever piece, broken as it is three sounds. So I can blow long tekiyas, long truas like a benatam, and that's not question. I'm yotze according to Rashi, long tekiyas, no question. Long truas, I'm yotze according to Rashi, no question. You don't have to be, but I'm yotze. With my broken shvarim, I'm guaranteed that my shvarim is going to be kosher according to Rashi and Tosfos.
You also guaranteed that you're not yotze the Ritva.
Right. But I didn't make up the minute.
Dov finds it says this minute.
So if Dov explained to me that this was the original Litva Sheminik. The original Litva Sheminik was to blow this way. And that's what that, he heard this from Moshe. That the original Litva Sheminik was to blow. I'm having difficulty in the beginning and you're getting the air in between, and that's how this became. Where you hear the two sharp sounds and the little bit softer sound in the middle, and because of the static that drags the two sounds together, and it sort of morphed into that. And Reb Chaim is on record, different people wrote down the wording of Reb Chaim differently. Reb Chaim is on record that he didn't like that shvar. And each person took a guess why the Reb Chaim didn't like the shvarim of Tu'utu and how he cut it down. Reb Chaim definitely wanted the shvarim of Tu'utu cut to something else. So what bothered Reb Chaim and what did he want done differently? So being that many people wrote on the topic and each one said a different thing, I feel that I'm also entitled to say what Reb Chaim wanted. And even though I'm clearly saying differently than the intention of the Emek Bracha, but one of the main sources that discussed it, Reb Chaim held, what he wanted is the Emek Bracha, and he says a lot of things that the wording that he uses that only stem with my explanation and do not stem with how he wants it to come out. So I sort of feel vindicated that a lot of the things he says only make sense according to me and not according to him. So you look up the Emek Bracha, you want it on page pay, and you look it up when you have a chance, that the shvarim Reb Chaim wanted, it, the three-part shvarim is not good, because if you go to utu and I change tones in the middle, to utu, and it's all one sound, and no stop in between, so that what's happening is I'm making one long three-part sound, three-tone sound, but it's one long sound, and in which case I'm not accomplishing anything according to Rashi. That's what I think Reb Chaim wanted. So Reb Chaim wanted to cut it down to two sounds. Okay? So which part do you want to drop? What they were doing in Europe at the time was tu'utu, right? They were doing it at tu'utu. Tu'utu is... It's low, high, low. That's how it goes in music. Low, high, low. It's three parts. So which part did Reb Chaim want cut out? We don't know. There's two versions, but he wanted. So one part of the world cut out the final part, and they have low. Which is the low, high, and the other part of the world goes... You have high, low. So I personally like the second version of the high low better. Why? Anybody here blow shofar? When you make that beginning sound, the beginning of a tekiah, or when you break up your truah, how do you break the truah? How do you start your tekiah? So you're blowing from the way you do is you blow from your chest, right? You're blowing from your stomach, not from your chest. You're blowing. The ear is coming up, and it's blocked in your mouth, and you let it out in a burst. But how do you change the tone from ooh to tu? What you do is you put your tongue at the roof of your mouth and you stop the airflow for a fraction of a second, and what comes out next is a new burst of air. No space between them, but it's a new sound. So in my opinion, what?
You stopped it with your tongue.
Right. So even though it's a fraction of a second, a millisecond, there's no space between the ooh and the two, but it is a new sound. I have to put my tongue to the top of my mouth, stop the airflow for a fraction of a second, and then continue. So in my opinion, you're getting a broken sound, which is what the Ramban wants you to blow. There's a break in it, which would not qualify for a tekiah, so therefore it's definitely not tekiah, and according to Rashi, it's two sounds, longer than a trua, shorter than his tekiah, and it's kosher according to Rashi, and it's kosher according to Tosis, and in one set of tekiahs, you can be able to all the shittas except for... Thank you.
Because
in tu'u, it's one sound. It's one breath of air. The only difference is the force that I'm using. But utu, I'm stopping the air. Baruch Hashem, the shul I blow in one to utus.
One breath, one exhalation, interrupted by the tongue.
Yeah. Right. So therefore, it's two. Logically, it's two sounds. Even scientifically, it's two sounds.
Why did Chaim not like the tutu?
So my theory is because the problem because you're not accomplishing the broken sound because it's not broken.
Why?
It changes. Oh yes. You're right. According to me, it worked, but it's and according to me, it solves all the problems.
So you can do the same thing.
You could. According to me, you can do it. You don't need it, but you can do it. According to.
You're wiring me upset.
There's another mile in this whole system of the broken sound that it helps you count your sounds. You know that you're not going over by breaking up the sound, but even the utu without my whole theory, it counts the tone. So you know that you're not going over time. That this way you can get Rashi Shita even without my whole shekel
there. Each part of it is more than true.
Yeah, definitely each part is more than true, which is not so difficult.
Because the pilot of the difference between the two is that the first two might be three sounds and they come to Kia for Rashi, but if you do two, then for sure less than three?
No. The way the quote of Chaim was that he thought of the whole thing as one sound.
But two still sounds like one sound?
That's how he was understanding it. I understand it differently. That's the quote of Chaim.
So what, are you using the tongue then?
No, I agree with you that at the end of the day, tu'utu is not what you call it. The problem with tu'utu, according to me, is that tu'u, right? No, the tu'u, it's theoretically possible to go over time.
You might get to a three then.
You might go more than two.
So what?
The whole point of the three tone is to make sure that it's and she's Rashi. But if we go to utu, so to u could already be oiskeshlep more than two sounds, and possibly. Not the end of the world, but it's possible that if you go over time and you can make it into a shwar. A tekiah.
So the thing that Chaim's problem with utu is that tu'u might be over two sounds.
That's right. Yeah. It's possible to go over. But there's no record from Chaim what he said. It's everything clear to me than what each one understood. Okay. Any questions? Okay, so then just take advantage of the books in the back of the thing. Anything you buy here today, I don't have to slap back with me to New York. So, that's okay.